give, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton. Takes the snap. Rolls near side right. Throws. It's caught. Touchdown, Greg Little. And the Browns lead.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanai!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
We've had a tough stretch against some very good teams here. I think the guys have learned that we can be, and when we are on our game and playing consistently, that we can compete and go toe-to-toe with anybody.
On their game, and that is what the Browns were for the most part, not the first half, and that's what ultimately cost them a 23-17 loss at Kansas City, but they made it interesting. Jason Campbell definitely made it interesting.
He sure did.
And we're going to be able to break that down today. We're going to have the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski, join us in about an hour. We'll also have the roundtable here right around 1:15. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. So much to talk about from this game. The good news, the Browns got some spark and life in their offense from Jason Campbell, primarily being their quarterback, from an offensive line that stepped up the challenge of taking on an outstanding, the best pass rush in the league. The bad news, and we heard it just a little while ago, unfortunately, Travis Benjamin lost for the year with a torn ACL. Nathan, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. I feel, you know, this is a lot better, a different feel on a Monday than some of the last Mondays coming off of a loss have felt. So I feel pretty good about this. I liked what I saw from Jason Campbell, and it just goes to show what a little pocket awareness can do for you. The ability to just maneuver in a small space, buy a little bit of time, make quick decisions. We saw that from Jason Campbell. I felt good about that. The pass rush was back, 6 sacks in this game of Alex Smith, 5 in the second half. Wasn't a complete game, and that's why it's very tough to win in the NFL when you don't play a complete game. But right. I thought this was a game that, as a Browns fan, you could take a lot of positives away from, despite the fact that they lost.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly that this gives it a very different feel, even though it's the third loss in a row. There's a trap. There's a danger being around this football team of falling into the moral victory mode, and we've any number of times I've been part of this for the last few seasons. I mean, at least going back to 2011, where you're looking at, yeah, but they did this and these were encouraging signs. I think the best part of this one was the fact that in Jason Campbell, you can see something that's sustainable that gives this offense something to rally around. It didn't have that. It did not have that with Brandon Whedon. We knew that. That was glaringly obvious. And this game, I think, moves forward the idea that the Browns can play at a level of competence, they can be efficient, and they might be able to even get some wins when you look at a schedule that I think gets a lot more favorable for them in the second half of the season.
It certainly does. And, you know, it's not so much about moral victories, but listen, I'll be the first to admit that I'm wrong. When a couple weeks ago I said on this radio show that Brandon Whedon was the best quarterback in the building, I think that has been...
We both felt that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with you on that.
And that's fine. And Jason Campbell, I'm glad that he proved me wrong, and it's one game, but it was a very positive game in what we know was a tough environment against a very good defense, and I thought he managed the game very well. I really think this team, and we talked about it, who needed to step up? And we'll get to the people that are culpable, but you know, there are a couple small errors away from taking this game. And Devon Bess is a guy
or big errors.
Devon Bess was a guy who was brought here to A, catch the football. He is continuing to fail at that, and to take care of it once the injury to Benjamin happened and he had to return the punt. You gotta come up with that ball. You don't have to make a return. It would have had great field position. You just have to come up with that ball. You can't have that kind of a turnover, and it was the only one of the game at such a critical juncture because it changed the way that the clock had to be managed.
Right.
It changed the way that the strategy of the coaching staff that they would employ and basically put the Browns in a position to have to go for it on a fourth down later when had they may have very well been tied at that point. So
right.
A critical mistake there, still a lack of a running game, yes. But I thought, on the whole, this was an offense that showed some things. I love that they continue to dig into their bag of tricks, a little flea flicker for the hush down to Josh Gordon. And there were a lot of positives in this one. One thing that I'm curious to get your take on is we saw with Christian Ponder and now with Alex Smith, This line does a great job of getting the quarterback, but with guys who are mobile, they can have some breakdowns at times, and unfortunately, some of them come in fairly critical situations.
Yeah, that's a challenge for this defense to overcome. I'm putting it under the general heading, though, of just really bad first halves.
Yep.
There's something with this team, and I don't know if it's a focus question. That's the only word I can come up with, and it's the word Rob Chudzinski used quite a bit during his news conference, a focus on getting that part right. He said that would be the emphasis in practice this week leading up to the Baltimore game. Quite honestly, I'm troubled that you're focusing on slow first half starts halfway through the season. That should have been solved before the season. That was a trend that has been that was established much earlier. So this team has to be able to get that down much sooner and better. What I didn't like about that first half, besides the multiple three and outs by the offense, is the way this defense just allowed just what we said they couldn't do, but we sort of expected would be, I expected to be the problem against the Chiefs, was allowing Jamaal Charles so much green area, green space to function and make these little passes into big gains. Same thing happened with Dexter McCluster. Both of those guys averaging more than 9 yards per catch, and they were the killers. They were the two people that basically took out this defense because it was the whole dink and dunk, very smartly played game, by the way, by Alex Smith. He was his efficient, smart self, finding those spots. He was like an orchestra leader, and he just did it so effectively because the Browns defense had these deep zones, so there'd be three blockers in front of one or two
on the screens.
On the
yep.
screens, one or two backs who could get the ball each time, and each time defenders had people in their way.
And that's part of the problem, and it's also part of the problem when you are so blitz-oriented that if you get caught in certain play calls like a screen, it can be very effective because your guys are either up the field or way down it, and they can get their guys in space. And Alex Smith managed a very good game. I mean, listen, you held him again. And this is the thing, 4.7 yards per play for the Kansas City Chiefs, 6.5 for the Browns. That's almost 2 yards a play better. You typically win with that. But then again, you look and you see that they held the ball for 36 minutes to 23 for the Browns. Why? It comes back down to third downs. And this defense played a very good game. I think a very good second half. They got pressure. They did a lot of things we wanted to see them do. But still on the money downs for the second week in a row, they gave up over 50% conversion on third downs, 10 of 19. The Browns themselves, 3 out of 12 on third down. You really can break it down in the NFL to as simple as getting off the field on defense, staying on the field on offense, and giving yourself chances. And the amazing thing was, despite all of that, they still had the ball down three with a chance to go down and tie or win this game.
When the Chiefs have a third and short, third and two, third and three, whatever it was, they got it. And they didn't just get the few yards, they got many yards. When the Browns have those situations, they might get 1 yard. And it's such an effort for this offense to convert those third downs. It certainly was earlier in the game. It got a little better as the game progressed. But basically, that is the story of the opponents. The Chiefs know how to pick up those yards, those critical money yards on third down, and the Browns don't for the most part. And from a defensive standpoint, yes, it's the high-risk, high-reward scheme that Ray Horton plays. And yes, it can pay dividends. Six sacks is the nice dividend that it pays, but it was too little too late. I mean, when you've basically put yourself in the hole that the Browns were in the first half, all the Chiefs were really doing in that second half was trying to maintain, and it almost cost them, and it probably should have cost them. And if the Browns don't, if Devon Best doesn't fumble that punt at the end and doesn't try to make a play where you could see he was trying to be a hero. He's running up. The judgment was so, when you saw him running for it, where you saw that ball, you said, no, at least in my mind, I'm screaming, no, don't do that. But he did it, and it got fumbled. And the other thing that's of at least some concern for me is he is the next man up. Right now, in the eyes of the coaching staff, he's the best option to replace Travis Benjamin. Joe Hayden's name got mentioned as also a backup in this punt return game. The punt return game, which had been such a weapon and a difference-making part of this team right now, is now, and obviously we know, is I'm going to use the word gone, but certainly big
compromised.
Question mark.
Yes.
Big question mark.
Absolutely. And that's to me the one thing when, you know, I came in here today feeling pretty good. Obviously, I'd feel better with a win, but, you know, I felt pretty good. The Travis Benjamin injury, though, that is just a brutal loss and certainly such a bummer and puts a damper on, you know, I think something where you can take a lot of positives out of this game from the Cleveland Browns. And that was very, very tough. It was good to see Josh Gordon. It was good to see Jordan Cameron look good. Not good to see their names in the article written by Jason Lockenfour.
You got to talk to your buddy there. I think Jason Lockenfour is now just throwing so many things up the wall at the wall and hope they stick. He had Brandon Whedon starting this game as a quarterback. He's got the Browns trading everybody. You know, just trading.
Well, he
trading
said they would
up.
Listen. Hopefully
all right, but
they
but he's tossing in names that no one else has brought into the discussion. I'm really not sure what Jason's up to. He's a buddy and a friend, and I kind of kid. But at the same time, he riles everybody up. He's gotten the Browns fan base so worried and so concerned. And look, Rob Chudzinski basically laughed off the whole thing today and said, he said, we're not trading anybody. I mean, he said, that's the, you know, he has said that at every turn, and at every turn, another report comes up, and you say, wait a minute. I mean, unfortunately for Jason Lockenfour and his timing, and again, as another reporter, I feel for this. But he had Brandon Whedon starting this game minutes, literally minutes, after Chud sat in the news conference last week and said the quarterback thing is open for discussion. We're contemplating a change. And in minutes afterward, he had something else. So that didn't juxtapose. And talking with a lot of media people around here, they didn't get where Jason was coming from then. And, of course, ultimately, when the official announcement was made, it was proved wrong. But now to throw in Jordan Cameron's name, there is nothing. I'm in this building. I talked to a lot of people. There is not a shred of anything, Nathan, I could tell you emphatically regarding Jordan Cameron. I've heard Greg Little's name come up in various discussions. Sure. That's fine. But you're talking about the real asset that this team has, assets, including Josh Gordon. And there's nothing I said this last week, there was nothing on the table that should get this team's attention for him. And I don't anticipate between now and tomorrow's 4 p.m. Eastern time trading deadline that anything's going to happen.
Good, because those guys yesterday had 213 of the team's 293
yards that stuff?
Passing.
And so, that's the other thing that ticks me off.
Get fired up,
social. Notorious. No, I'm not. I'm just annoyed. Social media. I heard this today. Tip, and someone tweeted to the effect of Travis Benjamin's injury. You know, Browns, typical thing. You lose the playmaker. This is what happens to him. He gets hurt. And then they also want to trade away all their playmakers. They want to trade away all the playmakers, saying it as a declarative statement.
Which is erroneous.
It's not only erroneous, but it just shows me it's idiotic. I mean, why are you going there? It's silly.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I'll be the happiest person in town come 4:01 p.m. Eastern tomorrow when we don't have to talk about this anymore and there can be no
more rumors.
I
didn't mention about you, the rumors regarding your trade, but that's another story.
Well, listen. Well, hopefully I'm still here at 4:01 tomorrow. We'll see. Actually, I'll be back Wednesday.
We're hearing from other radio stations.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, well, it's good to be in demand, I suppose. You could look at it that way.
Right.
It's good to be in demand. But
no, I'm not letting you get
through. You know, yeah, I'm glad. I'll be very happy when these rumors are over with. And I thought it was good to see Josh Gordon. And one of the things, I got a comment from somebody that I thought was very, very funny that, you know, on the flea flicker, all of his loafing actually paid off because he lulled them to sleep at the beginning of the sleep.
That's true.
But you know what? Randy Moss used to do that all the time, and then he'd turn on the Jets and he'd be gone. So I'm fine with it. I thought Josh Gordon played hard in that game. I watched the game back. I thought that he ran with more conviction in this game and applied himself a little bit more than perhaps he had in the other games. And listen, he admitted himself. He said, I'm not going to be – I want to get to the point where I am that consistent, where I'm that good every single week. And, you know, it's – I think he's aware of it. He knows it, and he wants to do it, which to me is half the battle. You know, some people would just say, I'm good, man. Look at what I'm doing. I have 300-yard games out of six. So I think that it's good to hear those types of things. I liked what I saw from him. I thought Jordan Cameron against a team that had really shut down tight ends all year played very well and made some tough catches. That one falling backwards and double coverage was a phenomenal grab. There are pieces here. There are things to get excited about and things when you know you're tested by a defense the caliber of the Kansas City Chiefs and you see some of the things that you did in this game. I thought there were a lot of positives to draw from that on the offensive side of the ball. And a kudos to the line for doing a very good job. One sack, very impressive.
Oh. Face it, everybody played better around Jason Campbell. Josh Gordon was inspired. He looked an inspired player, and I think the quarterback had a lot to do with that, a whole lot to do with that, emphatically, and it brought the best out in him. He told me so after the game. He was fired up about that, as was, I think, Jordan Cameron. And let's talk about the offensive line. Yes, it did an excellent job, but it's easier to do that job when your quarterback is getting rid of the ball in a rhythm and a pace and a timing. He has great pocket awareness, which is what Jason Campbell showed. The feel for that pass rush was there. He knew his cues, when to get it out. And when things started breaking down a little bit at the end, that was mostly tee off time because the Browns only could do one thing. They had to try to throw the football. They had to work in more of an exasperated mode, a faster paced mode. But overall, it was Campbell's work in concert with that line. I'm going to give the line credit, but I'm going to probably give his 50% of it to Jason Campbell.
Well, and it makes a difference. We've had now two different quarterbacks who get in there, get the ball out quickly, get it on time, and also have a little bit of mobility. And I think, you know, this line is very good, but I think even a guy, you know, who isn't so mobile could have some troubles behind this line unless they are very quick with their decisions. And Jason Campbell might not be as quick as Hoyer was, and yes, it takes a little while to get the ball out, but he's good enough with his feet and able to buy himself time as he moves around the pocket, and that to me is one of the more important things that you can have with a quarterback, especially in this offense when you are going to be asked to hold the ball. You're going to need to create that little bit of extra time and create those throwing lanes, and I thought Jason Campbell did a great job. And you know, we've talked about, even with Hoyer, 8.1 yards per attempt for Jason Campbell. That's the best mark we've seen from a Browns quarterback this year. 22 of 36, 293 yards, two touchdowns, only one sack, not a single turnover. Ran for 17 yards, made a few plays with his legs. I thought it was a very, very, very good debut from Jason Campbell. And now you take on a Ravens team that's coming to town here in week number 9 that should match up pretty well for the Cleveland Browns again. And we'll see what happens. And, you know, this is a team that won the first half in 6 games. The first 6 games of the year, they won the first half, six games out of the year. Green Bay, not so much. This week, they won the second half against Kansas City. So in 7 of the 8 games that the Browns have played this year, they have won one of the halves that they've played.
And that's why they're 3-5. So win both halves, and you might be on to something.
Impossible to lose.
That's what's got to start to happen for this football team, and it's exasperating, quite honestly, to see this team play just halves of football. It won't get it done. The good teams don't do that, and this team isn't hardly good enough to play a half of football. But you're right. You look at the modicums of ways that they've gotten better with just middle, just call it average quarterbacking. It's not great quarterbacking, but they've raised the level to somewhere around midland, right around middle of the league type of level of quarterbacking. Sure. And look at what it means to this offense. Brian Hoyer did that. And then, of course, Jason Campbell did that this past week. So you're right about those other pieces and how they can thrive from that. All right, the roundtable is going to be coming up. We're going to bring Doug Deacon in here from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Going to bring in Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Vic and Nathan, much more coming up on a Reaction Monday, ESPN 850 WKNR.